Thanks for listening to Mommy's R Us podcast. We have a special episode. We will be discussing regretting motherhood. As you know, I'm your hostess with the mostest, and I'm sitting here with
La Mama Mia,
just Miss Jazz,
and Nee couldn't make it, but we sent her some vibes. But our special guest is Bridget. Okay, so Bridget, tell us where you from. A little bio, quick bio. I know you do bios now, so you somebody.
My name is Bridget Jones. I'm a native of Memphis. If you do know me, you probably know me from TSU. And you know that I'm from Memphis. I've always been real, real Memphis. But most recently, I'm a historian now. I work for the Tennessee State Museum, where I'm the curator of social history. I do a lot of work around Black history. That's my thing. If you didn't know, now you know. You should know.
I'm right.
Dig that. So y'all, since we talk about regretting about motherhood, like, what is some myths about motherhood?
Like, we straight in.
And it's the most beautiful time of your life.
We drinking wine now.
The transition be totally different from being pregnant to actually having a damn child and like taking care of it.
Yeah, it's definitely an abrupt change, and it's like it's consuming, and it's
real fast.
Yes, it's like instantly.
I mean, I think a good adjective would be it's suffocating at times.
Oh, nailed it.
It definitely can be.
Like, I feel like the biggest deal to me is all my life I've heard, like, it's going to come natural. You're going to be able to do this. It's going to come natural. It's going to come natural. What the fuck came natural? My child didn't latch on a titty, y'all. Like, he didn't latch. I was so mad that nobody told me how his formula was.
Nobody told me.
$28 for Infamil. God damn, son. He been last on this for a month. He going through it.
How much child care?
Man. Yep.
Nobody said how much daycare was going to cost.
Yes. Yes.
Nobody told me
food.
I was
going to
get fat.
I didn't know you were
going to
get a little
bit. I know everything was
going to spread. You know, I just thought my snapback was going to be popping. My snapback was just crackling a little bit. Like, it wasn't really popping.
I feel like just becoming a mom, it changes you. Like, whatever you heard, half the time it don't really be true besides postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm. Very real.
And a lot of people go through postpartum.
Like, and it's not talked about. It's not talked about. They don't know what it is. And then I've noticed that a lot of women, like how you said your baby didn't latch on, like it's so uncommon. The natural way of everything is so uncommon, and we have such a lack of community that it's like we don't really know. They tell you it's gonna come natural, but no, really, it came natural for you because you had a village who was constantly in your ear. You were raised to do this. You knew how it was gonna change your life. Only thing I knew about pregnancy from my family was it's gonna change your life. Don't do it. Don't be out here.
Don't be fast.
Yeah, don't be fast. Keep all your stuff to yourself. Like, so I want to know, since we hear all the negative about motherhood usually before we become mothers, why is regretting motherhood a taboo topic? Like, why is it not talked about? Why is it looked at that way?
I think it's rooted in how we perceive women traditionally, and what we perceive the role of women to be in the familial unit. So this role has, motherhood is synonymous with womanhood. So when you think about what womanhood has always been described as being, everything is rooted around eventually you becoming a mother and raising someone else. So when you then add religion, because there is no separation of church and state as much as we like to think it is, you start putting religious aspects into it, and this is literally what women are spiritually here to do. There is a spiritual component to you being able to produce life. So how dare you regret this gift that you've been given without ever understanding that gifts can be curses too. Because if you really look at what motherhood is biblically, that was a curse upon Eve. That wasn't a gift. She was cursed with womanhood, and men were cursed with work. Curses ain't never been positive.
No matter how much you try to put it.
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna go on and get that degree. I'm gonna go on and finish. I'm just muscle through it. Let me go and get that graduate. Like, let me push myself a little further because that was just perfect.
Because you is more than just a mom.
You is so much
all the time.
You a therapist, you a nurse, you a teacher. Yeah.
everything. Life.
You literally everything. Your child's first impression of what everything. Life is about to be. Your child learns directly from you.
And that's for boys and girls. Mm-hmm. Your son is going to learn how to love a woman through how he loves you, and also how he sees you accept love. Mm-hmm. And your daughter's going to do the exact same thing too.
Yeah.
So I think I love to say this about my son. Like, Carter is like a reflection of me. Like, he's mm-hmm. like, he's so authoritative and assertive. Like, he's bossy as fuck. But that little boy has fun. Everything that he does, like, he hear music, he'll come in, start dancing, like, because he see me do it all the time. Like, he see that, oh, my mommy's a life at a party. Mm-hmm. My mother, us don't take no shit. Like, so he knows, like, nobody can play with him. Like, he don't be going. Like, even with his daddy, he does not be going. Like, he's such a boss, and I love that about him. I'm like, my kid for real. I birthed you. Like, you me.
My son has all the softer qualities that I wish I possessed. I'm not a very soft person. It has its negatives to be a woman and not be completely in tune with, like,
your emotions
and femininity. But he's definitely, I give him all the love that I feel I want. And I think I want more love from people than I display. But it's not in me to display that type of emotion. So I just want you to kind of give it to me. I don't want to have to ask for it. And I just give him it. So I tell him I love him 1,000 times a day. Like, he is the most sensitive, emotional. He's also a Cancer, so it just kind of comes naturally with. And I think he's going to be all of the positive attributes of me.
Oh, my God. Y'all describe, like, how I feel about my son. Both, like, it's like both qualities.
And wait a minute, it was both for me. Y'all.
Like, what's she about to say? I was trying to put that shit together. I was definitely trying.
Like, what is going on? What did she say?
So, since we know, like, how motherhood has changed our lives, and we know that, like you said, it's a spiritual, it's like, this is womanhood. Do you think that motherhood is a choice?
Do I think that motherhood is a choice?
Yes.
Motherhood is a choice, yes, because any woman can birth a child. That doesn't mean that you're a mother. I think motherhood is definitely a choice, because you can absolutely positively be a negligent mom. Mm-hmm. I think we always focus on absentee dads because, I mean, that shit deserves to be focused on. Fast. But I don't think that we focus on how many absentee moms are in the world. Mm-hmm. My fiance has an absentee mom, and I'm cleaning that mess up. So I've had to become his mom and his dad. Like, those are two hard things. And I can see what that does, especially for those of us who have boys. You as a mother teach your son how to love and how to be in touch with his emotions. So when you fail and neglect that job, how is he supposed to go and do this with someone later in life? You can't give what you've never had. So I think motherhood is definitely a choice, because you don't have to be a good mom. You can just have a baby and be negligent as well.
And it's a lot of toxic mothers.
Yeah.
Like, I have a cousin whose mom is very toxic, and I can just tell by the way he acts. His mama is, she didn't put him through the ringer. And then to have a father that's absentee, because we don't talk about that. You can have a very toxic mother and then an absent father at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what do you think that actually raised?
The
qualities
very
that person.
But that's why it's important for, like, people who suffer from, like, abandonment issues, toxic issues, absentee issues, to seek therapy. Mm-hmm. I always say it like this. I know a lot of men, based off how they treat women, they have mother issues.
Right? Yes.
So you need to seek professional help, because I didn't do what Miss Gloria did.
Okay?
I didn't do that. She did that to you. I'm not going to leave you at your darkest and your lowest times. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to do that. But you judging me for it. So you need to seek care. Exactly. But a lot of men suffer from that. A lot of men don't even want to confront that. And that's why I feel like right now we are, like, suffering for a lot of men and their growing up issues. And women too.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, women, like, they thrive off the lust of, like, having a man there because they didn't have their dad there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Their dad was there, but he really wasn't really there. They didn't know their dad. And that happens a lot within the Black community, like, well, really every community.
Yeah, it's really every community. Because your father could be in the house with you and not be have any emotional
connection.
That's what the movie Fence is about. Remember, he was talking about how he just, I take care of you. Like, you ain't gotta like me.
But I mean, that's the concept of masculinity, though. Masculinity has never been, well, I won't say ever, but in recent years, we're speaking about American history, masculinity has never been deemed something that's to be emotionally in tune. Masculinity is rooted in your ability to provide. Mm. Either you can or you can't. I ain't gotta love you. I can remember, like, not only my grandfather, but other people I know grandfathers, like, I pay the bills. What you mean I don't love you? Like, you wouldn't that's have a house love. If I don't love you. Like, yeah. That's my love.
That's my love, yeah.
But that's not always what's needed.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that we're all boy moms. Because I think so often we hear that, like, raising little girls are harder than boys. And I always ask people why. Because what y'all do, y'all give y'all son a football and a basketball, tell him to go outside. And that's you raising your son.
And it's not.
And that's you raising, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I always tell myself, I'm telling y'all every day, I'm like, I'm raising somebody's husband and father.
I want my thing. If they listen, 30 years from now, I want my thank you gift for raising Cardi B, Sean Bass.
For real, yeah,
girls putting in work over here. All the time. You ain't never got to worry about my son lying. If you lie, he wasn't raised like that.
He definitely was not.
Yeah, but you gonna keep it 100.
Be a stand up man, time. Stand up guy. For
that's
self.
Literally all it takes. That's all it takes. You know,
a lot of moms, I think, are just not honest with themselves about their sons. Like, that would eat me up as an individual, because again, I'm big on morals and principles. So, like, if I knew my son was out here doing wrong, and a female coming to my door crying and shit because my son did some
stuff, I'm getting to your ass.
I'm getting to his ass.
I'm like, if I like the girl, I'm
look, you don't put a little extra on it.
I'm like, you need to just go ahead and leave him alone, because he ain't gonna be the man fit for you. But a lot of moms, like, they be in denial about their son. Like, how can you be in denial about something that you birthed? You just saw all his patterns of behaviors that led up to this.
Right.
This very moment. Right. You knew it was coming. As a woman, you should not even want to see me suffer.
But I think a lot of women mess up because they start, when their sons come in the world, they start off wrong. They start off using their son as a replacement for the love they didn't have romantically. Ooh. So then you start raising your man and not your son. And that's why you're willing to turn a blind eye to whatever he do to these girls. Because you don't want him with any of them anyway.
I hate hearing phrase like, oh, God gave me a son because I needed to look like I needed a man to love me. Y'all, that eats me up.
Yeah,
y'all heard
that
phrase? Like, because my son is not my man.
Yeah.
Like, he's never going to be my man, but however, I am going to raise my son to be a great man for another woman.
Right.
Like, all the stuff that I wish that I saw men do, like, I would want to, like, put that in my son. Like, because I don't want, I mean, y'all know I'm going to do something.
It be, we've grown, like, raising men has taught me a lot, but, like, one thing it is, I always think, like, both of them are going to be somebody's father, somebody husband, somebody friend, somebody boss, employee, whatever. Like, this is, I want them to be raised to a standard. I want you, when you look back at them, I want you to be like, damn, you them robbing kids. They did good.
I want my child to be
out here
as much as I love today's rap music. I mean, I love it for on the surface level, it's catchy and shit. We're not gonna
entertainment purposes.
It's entertainment. But I don't want my son out here being one of these niggas out here talking about bros with four hoes. I think that shit's weak. I get hoes, but the connotation of it is bros before women in general. We're not going to be like, but we said hoes. No, nigga, you meant women.
Just think about it. Jesus didn't have all men at the Last Supper.
But you know, historically...
It's been revamped 1,000 times, but I say that though because women are the most loyal out of men anyway. Like, Dame Dash said it best in the Breakfast Club, not always references every year on my page. Like, I don't like a lot of niggas around me. Niggas can't be trustworthy. Like, but I love a lot of women around me because women gonna show you if they jealous or not off the top. Like, I love that. I don't need somebody that calls me they bro. Like, oh yeah, we feel da da da. But you plotting against me.
Yeah.
You think about a lot of men that have died. If they died by like a crime, a robbery, it's always been because a female and a dude. But a dude was like loyal to their female, so they listen to the female that was involved. Like. Nah.
I mean, but we're supposed to go together, though. It should be that way. We're meant to be a unit. Like, for those of us who choose to be in heterosexual relationships. Because if that's your thing, right? If that's how, if male and female were put together to be a component, how can you ever think that you are going to be able to do this without the other side of your component? Like, it's a set. Yeah. They go together. That's why the penis inserts. It's a set. They go together. So I think when you start talking about like trying to raise boys to understand their role, teaching them their role is so much deeper than teaching them how to get a job and pay a bill and buy her house and buy her car. Like, why don't we ever teach them how to love them right? Yep. And that way, the next generation of little girls can quit raising somebody's son.
Yes, that is definitely true. Yep. I agree with that. Definitely agree.
It's a thing.
It's definitely, yeah. I definitely
appreciate it.
You have to definitely teach your boys on how to appreciate women. How to show love in different ways and stuff like that, yeah. I agree.
And even if your son comes out gay, I know a lot of gay, disrespectful niggas. Like,
nah, for real.
I know some disrespectful ass gay men who clearly didn't have a mother to teach them to also respect women. Like, I don't care if their traits are feminine or not, you can still respect women.
Yeah, but I do know some boys that have been raised by their moms being lesbians, and they've been like super
good. But imagine how it must be though to be raised by two women. You got respect on both ends. That means you know how to respect feminine women and women who present as masculine, because it's a whole ordeal about niggas treating these masculine presenting women in ways that just are not acceptable.
Unacceptable.
Right. I don't care how she looked. That's a woman at the end of the day. Well, she looked like a nigga. And your grown ass know it's a bitch, so treat it like it's such.
No, for real.
For real.
Y'all here trying to fight these fucking girls. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's
you still don't, you don't get no force vibe, though.
You still don't.
You still right. I'd be so confused. I'd be like, how you gonna turn up on a bitch, bro? Like, I don't give a fuck if that is a dyke or not. I don't know if that's a proper term to use around this bitch, but y'all know where I'm going with it. Like, that's still a woman.
Yep. I think that goes back to what we were saying. It's just all like a... it. Everything, when you have a child, you're their world. And so I know so many men who are, like, emotionally detached. And it's a big deal for me now, because in the beginning, I didn't realize, like... that's why I said I relate to you a lot when you were talking about how having, like... masculine energy. I'm an air sign. Air women and fire women. Mm-hmm. It's like a balance with masculine and feminine energy. We have more masculine than other signs, you know? Yeah. And so, I, for the longest, I associated being a woman with weakness. For the beginning of my life. Yeah. I had a lot of male friends. Mm-hmm. I had, you know what I'm saying? My daddy was in my life. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and I was just like, I ain't on that weak shit. Like, period. I'm not with that bullshit. And so, the first, like we was talking about, when you feel played or when you feel like, okay, I let myself be vulnerable and you going to play with it. Now I got to show you something. You feel what I'm saying?
You
hear what I'm saying?
I was showing you what my mama taught me.
And see, that's the thing. My mama's a Leo. So, she right here with me. She's not. And like, the women in my life, they're not super feminine. They're not super soft.
See, you had that. My mom is the most feminine.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is soft as cotton. My mom,
Lisa, she's very like, she's like, I don't even know how, you know how like you hear about the Asian women, Korean women, that they run the household when it comes to money. That's how she is. Like, so I get that mentality from her, but I'm like, oh no, I'm still hustle. But my mama, she ain't never really had to work like that. So she was just, everything was kind of given to her based off of a man, you know what I'm saying? And I don't ever want to be like that, but she's very feminine. Like, y'all see this, she's always dripped. Always. And I'm just like, you a different breed, lady. Because this is how you come in, but you so soft. The look is so soft, but she's so hard on the inside. Yeah. And that's how I am. Like, I try to be like that. Like,
I never wanted to be a mom. I never wanted to be a wife. That was not, little girls aspire to these things and dream of their wedding day at seven. That was never in my intention. I wanted to get some money real early.
Facts.
And I think... because of the relationship. My mom's a preacher, and I grew up Southern Pentecostal, which is a fairly strict sect of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with a father who was, for lack of better words, a crackhead and an alcoholic. So growing up with these two married parents, a two-parent household, with these two very contrasting figures, I think my mom being so feminine that she was too feminine to handle my father in the way that he, in my opinion, should have been handled, because all I'm saying is all he would have had me fucked up. And I love my daddy to death. Like, I'm more like my father, obviously, than I am my mom. And I think as early as that is when I began to form my view of what womanhood was. Mm-hmm. And immediately began rejecting what I saw. Like, okay, your parent, again, is your earliest example mm-hmm. of what both of these roles are. I knew then, if this is what womanhood is, I don't want it. Like, okay, you got a man, you don't go to work. You got two kids, you take care of. I see how hard you work. But he comes in this motherfucker how you lazy every day. That don't sit right with me. It's seven. So then, God clearly knew not to give me a daughter. Because I don't know how to properly educate her on femininity, because I don't possess the trait. Mm. Yeah. I needed to be a boy mom.
Nah, same. I feel you on that.
I just happen to be a boy mom. I'm such a girl. I am such a girl. But I'm not affectionate. So
how do those two even go together?
I'm very girly, but I'm not affectionate at all. I don't want to be kissed. I don't want to be touched.
Physical touch is like my last.
Like, that's the last. If you got to do that, I'd rather you buy me something and just give it to me. And then
leave you alone. Do you like sex?
No, I like sex, but I just like when I want to be left alone, I want to be left alone. So, but I'm very girly.
It's on her time.
It's on my time. I'm very spoiled too. So, a lot growing up, my mom did a lot of stuff on my time. Yeah. My father did too. My parents got divorced.
You said you got an older.
I have an older sister. So my mom and my dad had me. I'm my daddy's only child, and my mom's second, the youngest. My parents had me when they were 30, so they kind of like, they were married, they was trying to do some things, but my mom was the breadwinner in the household.
Okay.
So I kind of can feel what you said, like with the whole, my parents got divorced at 7, so I learned easily that my mom is one of them bad ass bitches. Like, she can definitely do it on her own. But my daddy married my stepmom, who lived in Wisconsin. My stepmom was the typical housewife. Her husband did everything for her. She got well taken care of, but my daddy was a cheater. He was very arrogant. He did not give a fuck. He's gonna do it. What you gonna say about it? He's a Gemini, so he's two-faced as hell. He show you one way, and then he do the other. So I'm like, so I'm so free spirit because my mom is an Aries. So it's very weird because I'm very like outspoken.
I think Aries make the best.
I literally, me and my mom are very close. I can tell her anything. Like, you know, she accepts me for who I am. I've been so free spirit that when I was little, I used to write on my wall in permanent marker shit that your parents probably would have beat your ass in.
Beat me.
My mom, in my high school room, my senior year, people wrote on my wall their name. Everybody, it was like a landmark. If you
and everybody knew where you lived too.
And everybody knew where I, so they, you, I used to throw parties.
I can respect that, because technically that's kind of creative.
Yeah, so.
Y'all are not renting.
She owned the house, and every time
I threw
parties, and like, so yeah, she like let me be, yeah. Mm-hmm. But see, that's the thing, stuff that my mom allowed me, I wish that my father was there, because she would have been more, but my mom worked. She always worked.
So a lot of stuff you was just able to do because your mama wasn't at home.
My mama just wasn't at home, so I feel like,
your mama ain't
really. Exactly. So I think about sometimes, like, if two parents was in the house, and I wasn't actually as I wasn't even sneaky no more. I got to the point where I was like, I'm going to do it. You going to
do it. But you know, Aries are very free-spirited people. Like, my best friend is an Aries. And I look at her relationship with her mom, who's a Scorpio. My mom's also a Scorpio. They're both very, very spiritual in two different presenting ways. Mm-hmm. But she is going to, my best friend's going to be such an amazing mom. Like, she's going to be so amazing as a mom. She does not share in any of my sentiment about motherhood. She cannot fathom how miserable I can be some days. And I love my baby to death. Like, that is my ride, or that he's my broke best friend. Mm-hmm.
For real.
But for some real days, I be like, nigga, I just need
a break.
You to leave me
fucking. Oh, my God. I feel that.
I had some real conversations with a four-year-old, okay? Like, look, bro.
Get you away have to
let mommy breathe. I can't kiss on you right now. Mm-hmm. I need you to go watch Blazing the Monster Machines with the oranges. And I need you to kick it, my nigga. Like, because mommy got a look deep, got on my nerves today. And I need a break, okay?
I felt that.
No, for real.
Mommy gotta recharge.
I definitely need to let me step away right for like a couple of minutes and then come back and recharge. I'm working a job too. I work. Yes, I take care of you. I make sure my house is straight. I got shit on the side I gotta do. I got a personal life.
But why is it not okay to raise children that you've been transparent with through life? So instead of, because I know I have no boundaries with my mom. I don't give a fuck if she
me
has
too
a bad day.
I have no boundaries with my mom either.
That
I
got Charlie.
I have no boundaries. But listen to this.
We could raise kids that understood that their parents also have boundaries.
Yeah.
So when your baby turn 14, they can realize, they can come home and be like, okay,
she ain't feeling this.
Mommy in a mood. Let me find me something to do.
Mm-hmm. But I think kids are grasping onto that fact. Y'all. Like,
yes.
My nephew, he be like, he'll call me like his mama, like, and one of them, he like, Auntie, I ain't even finna ask my mama. Can you get Uber Eats to bring me some McDonald's? I be like, I got you. No worries.
Mommy has a bad day.
I understand that you don't want to ask your mama because I know how it is. Mm-hmm. To be like, it's my son. He'll ask me for something to eat. I'm like, what the fuck? I gotta go drive all the way. Like, yeah. I don't want to. No,
today
no,
I was being somebody to be there for y'all. Me. I didn't even know you was there for me.
Right. Listen, my child, I told you he's about to be 3. And it done got to a point where I've told him, like, over the past couple months since I've started working from home, and he's homeschooled. So I've told him I just need 17 minutes, to the point where the other day he came in and he said, I said, my head hurts, and I didn't even open my eyes. He said, Mama needs 17 minutes? I said, yep, 17 minutes. Give me 17 minutes.
Because if you teach them those things early, it won't look so bad later in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it'll be good for when they start dating, right?
Yeah.
So they can, like,
you
certain
personal space.
Certain behaviors that we probably possess that we don't even know. Like, when we make that look like, or, you know, when we just gotta throw our head back or something like that while we washing dishes, they'll understand if they significant other does the exact same thing. Oh, I know what that sign is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let me leave her alone. I'll be back. Like, that's important because some men now, they don't even understand it.
Mm-hmm.
How you don't understand it? I don't feel like being bothered, nigga. The fuck? Like,
leave. Did your mama never not leave? Did she leave her alone?
Like,
listen.
Because my mama didn't say it often, but when she got mad enough, she'd be like, go play.
Gotcha. I definitely learned that early. My mom definitely. And one thing I love about my mom, she had a life outside me. My mama did not have no problem going out. Really? She let me know she was going out. She let me know she was having fun. My mom, one of the reasons why she wanted to move here, because she know that her being here, I would feel more comfortable with going out more, hanging out more.
You could have a life because she believed in having one.
Because she believed in still having a life. And she's going to make sure that.
My mom is the polar opposite. My mom did not have any life outside of her children. My mom also had me at 38, and she had my brother at 39.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my mom was literally 40, having kids. And so by the time that she had us, she lived. She'd done everything that she wanted to do, and she was saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And she poured her soul into raising me and my brother. And as the recipient of the love, I'm very appreciative of it now, because and I'm telling you who I would be if I had a mama that was out here trying to kick it every week.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's...
We don't talk about that side.
Yeah, of it, we definitely don't.
I think she, because of that, doesn't understand that it's a difference between me having a child at 24 and you having a child at
38. It's a huge difference.
It's definitely a huge
difference. I had my son, like, at 23, I believe.
Me too. I was 23 when I had the twins.
My mama had me and she was 26. My mom was married though.
That's so how my mom was. Right? She was married.
I did not marry having a kid at the time. I was with my son's father. We was boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. When we broke up, baby, mama gotta have a life too. If I'm saying he's having a life, Why?
And I think women should be respected to have a life.
And my mom, to this day, she don't understand. Like she don't understand me wanting to go out. Like, and although I may, it's not even an every week thing, because when it's cold outside, I don't go anywhere. But like when it's summertime, like
I'm trying to kick it.
I'm trying to kick it at least once a week. Like, I want to meet up my friends, so I'm the only outside of my circle, my inner circle. I'm the only one with the kids. So, yeah, you feel me? So, it's a little different. It's a little different that I have to move a certain way, because I want to move my friends. You know, you mean go out, you have fun.
We want
to
do bob hair house shit, too.
Yeah, exactly. Let me go out.
Like, right. It's not stopping anything over here. My mom, she don't understand it. She's like, oh, you're not spending time with him. But I tell my son.
I'm with him all the time.
Exactly. But since she was so conditioned, she had me. Yeah. You know, I was married. She was a stay-at-home mom.
What all she had
was me. Yeah. And I'm like, Lisa, I'm not like that, girl. Like, my son knows. Oh, he tells me, like, oh, mommy, you finna go have girl time? Yeah, mommy finna go have girl time. I'll be back. You go. If I tell him I'm going to stay, like, if I know I'm going to come back home at a certain time, like, oh, you can stay up. I got you. We'll watch a movie, whatever the case may be. But I'm like, nah, just go to bed. I'll see you tomorrow. Like,
I got you. I'll be back.
You feel me? That's like my goal. But
you got to be transparent. You transparent with him, too. You let him know.
I'm a
person because mothers have been placed on this pedestal as if they're not people. As if they also, too, don't need breathers and breaks and refreshers. Like, we not no fucking machine. You can't just run me, nigga. You gonna run me into the ground. Like, people always, and then we glorify the generation before our parents. Like, grandmama raised 19 kids. Do you think she wanted to?
19 is right. A lot of money.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah. Like, I think we put Ladia and Big Mama on these pedestals that they didn't even probably want to be on.
Yeah.
It's the reason your grandmama and your granddaddy slept in separate rooms by the time they were 50.
And they still do.
And they still do.
You not putting shit else inside of me. Like, there's no part of me that wants to believe that Big Mama and them wanted 8 kids.
But see, they're not even honest with that. The fact that they're sleeping, you know, out, like, in different rooms. Like, how do you not, like, how don't you, like, acknowledge that? Like, yeah. I put the glasses back for that. Because you're not seeing this shit. That's not normal.
But what you said about having 8 kids, I'm like, people not having all them kids no more.
For a reason. That women fought for birth control in the 70s. What's also very little known is during the original suffrage movement in the 1920s, women were fighting for reproductive rights as early as 1918. Women been trying to get control of their body. I don't give a fuck about what Big Mama told you. It's women Big Mama age that was around this bitch like, nah, I don't want no motherfucking kids.
Yep.
Like, this is not a new concept. People try to treat it like these new women. No, go read the book, boo.
It's always been like this. Because I know for a fact, I'm like, kids are expensive. That's my first thing altogether. You got it. They expensive.
Damn.
And they take a lot.
It's just endless. Like,
and even then, I'm like, so you don't like adoption? I gave them adopted. That's a third
Your body takes changes. The hormones that you get into your body when you're pregnant, the hormones you push out.
I'm vitamin D deficient. If I have 8 kids, that's surgeon.
That's what I'm saying.
That be right there.
That's what I'm saying.
You can roll me right on out of labor and delivery and right on into the plastic surgery.
Since I'm already in the gown.
Don't snatch all this shit.
Oh, let me see. He's so precious. I see y'all in the morning.
Tell his brother to get him. And one of them that you wanted me to have.
You gotta, we really gotta be real about how motherhood changes you as a person each time. Not just after one pregnancy, but after each pregnancy.
Your body's gonna do something different. Your mentality is gonna do something every time.
And some people's body, they're not healthy enough to keep having babies. You have to be happy.
But your relationship do something every time.
You keep having kids with the same man, you know.
And
so
I know Big Mama had to resent that nigga.
You keep having kids with him. Like, come on.
She was looking across,
but like, there was no knowledge of contraceptive and childbearing prevention wasn't as forthcoming then as it is today. It wasn't no Planned Parenthood for Big Mama to go to and be like, so can I get this free birth control? Or y'all giving out condoms? The lambskin condom was in production until like 1950.
That's why it was so many like underground abortion clinics.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want it. Like,
and bitches was
they
dying.
Didn't want it. They were.
They were.
That's what put I'm themselves saying. In, like, and just say, fuck it. I'd rather die than to have this baby because
I can't take care of it.
I can't. And then. They're
speaking hangers in their coochie trying to get rid of the baby. Like, ugh.
Woo, Lord, I'm over here about to faint.
Well, they're not even sedated. Yes. Like, but they're like, I don't want this baby that bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's what people say, children are a gift. Yeah. They children are a gift.
To people who are ready for a gift.
Mm-hmm. You yes. gotta be ready mentally. If you're not ready for it, then it's not a gift to you.
And that's why
I thought I was ready.
At 23,
you really, your first go around,
you you're not gonna be ready.
Really never
ready. I don't care what age you are. You don't know what to expect.
No idea.
You have no idea. They say it might get easier as the child.
They lie.
They say your first child grow up with you.
I do think they grow up with you.
When you have them at a key thing, when you have them in like your 20s.
Yeah.
Like, because mm-hmm. I know some girls that had their kid at 17. They get their child grew up with them, but I'm thankful for my child growing up me at this age because I've already graduated. I'm learning, sick, but yeah. I'm still having fun. I'm still doing my
because
thing.
We still have a certain type of authority. Like I feel mm-hmm. like how I talk about teaching boundaries to your child. People who had kids at like 15, 16, 17 typically have fewer boundaries with their child. Like mm-hmm. in the sense of your child kind of looks you more like a big sister or big brother than
yes.
mom. Like nah, my nigga, you gonna still respect me as your mother. Not you know whatever relationship you choose to have with your child is your business, but. For me, in my house.
Yeah, in my household.
We will.
You put some respect on over here.
Even if we're not in my house, nigga, when we out Target, you do what? Excuse me, young man.
No, like, I ain't got no. I was just tweeting about this. I don't got nothing to do with Tim Tantrum. Like, I'm gonna tell you that. That's my new favorite. I'm
gonna
tell you that.
Oh, your child. That's why I tell him.
He's four.
Yeah, my child's four too. You know, like, I don't be playing. No, like, even though I'm not gonna call my baby daddy, I'll threaten him with it. Like,
oh, I'm gonna use it.
Yeah, because kids, boys, they act different when they would say that. Even though I know my son's father don't even be whooping my child. Like, I'm the disciplinary over this bitch. I don't even be doing shit. It's the fact that I'm gonna scare Carter shitless. So I said, I'm gonna call your dad.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Like,.
So, what's some advice for that you guys can give young mothers and women who think they want to have children or want to have children? What's some advice?
Pray. Not even.
And do the.
Not for real, no. For real. Pray.
No, but really, like, not just pray in the sense of, like, Lord, don't let this be bad, but, like, really sit with yourself and ask yourself if there's something that you're ready for. It's a lifelong commitment. Like, this is not. You can't pick your child and put your child down if you want to be a good mother. Like a mother that is present and attentive and loving and understanding. Pray for those attributes. And ask yourself honestly, is this something you're willing to commit your time to?
Not real.
Ain't no more random turnips post-motherhood. And I mean, you can do certain things in accordance to a certain extent, but your life will never be the same.
Mm-hmm. The children are inconvenient. They're definitely inconvenient about that. Like,
they are definitely inconvenient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You wanted to go shoot the Atlanta this weekend. Who gonna keep your baby?
Yeah, who your baby sisters?
Listen, well, before I had children, I used to always say it's the one bill that no matter how much you pay on it, the price increases. Like, but that's the main reason I don't want to have a child. But now that I'm a mother, I know it's just because like it's the longest commitment. Ever, it's like the biggest responsibility. That there's no bigger responsibility that you can ever have.
And that always depends on what type of lifestyle you want your child to have. So as expensive you get, your child get because you
because you can't be right here rocking Gucci and your baby rocking Shaq,
baby.
Baby. So if you rocking that, you gonna put your child in that, which means it costs more. Yep. If I want to wear designer, best believe Aziz and Zion got something.
Yeah,
because you know they talked about Offset. For buying culture, Birkin bag. Yeah, and I'm like,
he got it.
Oh, he got a Birkin. What? I mean, and not even it's not the idea that you're giving a child this bag, but your child lives on your level.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I'm wearing Tim's, my baby should have Tim's. Yeah, exactly.
Definitely.
That's
what I
say. Pray. That's my advice. Pray. Sit with yourself. Talk to yourself.
Right. I'm journaling. write what you want your child to be, write how you want to be as a parent. You have to be transparent on how you want to raise your children, because that definitely matters. Who you want your children to be around, the village around your children matter, because when they don't come to you, they're going to come to the other person. And you want to make sure that person have, think about what the insight, well, how you want to raise your children. So I think that's definitely.
I think my advice would be is to, like, mothers, is just, you're never going to stop learning. Like, I don't give a fuck what book a parent reads, the upcoming mother reads. That book ain't got shit on what's about to happen.
You gotta experience it.
Yeah, like, you're going to be learning forever. And like, we just all agree with that your child grows with you as well. So as their child grows, it's important to notice how, like, you are as a person. And just a continuously pattern is going to keep happening and happening.
I think I would say basically the same thing you said, kind of just do the work, like do the inner work, because I think any childhood traumas we have, it came from parents who didn't heal their own handle their own shit. And that's why I'm so glad, like, that mental health is becoming more of a topic, like, in the black community, because that's what it is. Like, everybody that's out here, like, fucked up, it's just them trying to process their trauma. Everybody just out here processing childhood trauma. And if you haven't sat with it, and if you haven't dealt with it, you can't do nothing but bleed on everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So.
And also, last but not least, be cognizant of who you have a child by.
Yes.
I don't think we talk about that enough.
But I'm gonna piggyback on that. You never really know a person until you have kids.
Yeah.
That is true.
That is true.
I don't give a fuck how he portrayed himself to be.
That ain't got shit to do with him coming from the family. Woo. But you do want to try to have a baby by somebody that got some people that's going to baby see.
Not for real.
That is true.
The dad side
matter. Because they village matter too.
Shout out to my village.
The mama dad village be getting used to the ground, and the father kid, the father village.
I'm in the clutch.
Pick your nephew up from school, girl.
My village
need
to be there, but I'm thankful of every person that exists within it, especially on his side of the family, because they have their own interpersonal family issues. So for those of them that choose to be present, I am thankful.
Yeah. And it's like we were talking about earlier, like the risks of, like, how you said when people don't want to have children and how it changes your body and your mind. I feel like pregnancy, I saw a post the other day that said pregnancy is too risky and too too dangerous to be having kids by people who really do not, you know, who really ain't talking about nothing, who are not good people. Like, and just as much as
you shouldn't,
like,
put your body in your mind.
Through that.
You have been through the childbirth experience, you have no idea what real pain, physical pain, is.
You put your body through so much to have a baby, and you mean to tell me you keep having babies by this no good ass nigga?
I got an epidural, and I ain't never hurt that bad in my motherfucking life.
Really? I mean, epidural, I don't even remember it, but I remember going to have a C-section.
Oh, you had a C-section.
I was in labor for 28 hours.
Woo!
Jesus. Ooh, Lord, I had the twins, and, like, I got an epidural. I mean, not epidural, but they broke my labor, like, early in the morning, and I had the twins at 11 o'clock at that night. I got an epidural during 5 centimeters, so it was like I was feeling pain, but I wasn't feeling like the hard pain, but I knew that shit was.
My water broke, I was 5 centimeters. I thought it was
going to
be easy breathing.
Labor, like I said,
you never know.
Each pregnancy is different. That's why when women keep having babies, I'm like,
Your body changes
every time. Spiritually, you going through a different thing.
Like, Marco, I was in labor 17 hours. I think 10 of them were, like, inactive. Like, I wasn't dilated. Like, they sent me home. Like, we can't do nothing for you. So I'm like, you mean you just going to send me home in pain like this? And it's like, it's nothing we can do until you begin to dilate.
Isn't that fucked up? Like, listen to that. The doctor's going to send you home in pain. Like,
that's what like, being pregnant being though.
Can I take for the pain? He's like, Tylenol. Yeah. Tylenol.
Extra strength.
So I'm struggling, like walking through Family Dollar, like.
And you got to try to make yourself
they
happy.
They tell you, like, walk. Like, these are the things that you can do to help it, the process go. I'm walking. It's like an old black lady in Family Dollar. She like, you had that baby tonight, and he got me, but not before they sent me home.
We have to talk about labor and delivery more. Like, what you're going to go through when you actually have a baby.
Because having a birth plan is important, and I don't think black women know enough about making sure you are assertive with your physicians about what you do and do not want.
Ooh, yes.
They work for you.
You should definitely tell them what you want and what you expect. Lay the expectations right there.
Yep.
And if you can't do it, your support team should be the one. She don't want this. We're not having that. That should definitely be happening in the labor room at that moment.
That was very, very important for me because I, like we talking about how bad the pain was. At that level of pain, I can't articulate to you what I need. You know what I'm saying?
I couldn't even talk.
That's what I'm saying. It makes you feel like that. And I couldn't imagine. You said 28 hours. You said what, 16?
17.
I was in labor for like 6 hours.
Damn, I wish.
I couldn't imagine being in labor that long, y'all. Like,
y'all, I threw up on my baby daddy. I let him know the breathing machine and everything. Because it was that bad.
Some pain is something else.
Because you don't realize how debilitating pain is to every part of that. Like, they have to give you oxygen because they're like, you're not. You don't realize that when you're in pain.
You're clenching up, it make it worse.
I'm like, literally, you telling me I'm dying almost down there. I can't breathe them all. And you have to hook the breathing machine to me. So I'm trying to push out a child.
And then you can't scream. Even when you push.
I was over here, like, I just remember the room just being so just, everything was in a daze. Like, I couldn't believe that I was here. I'm, like, tapping out because the epidural was there, but I'm still feeling everything because...
Don't believe that them epidurals is your end-all, be-all.
Oh, trust me, it's not because when they try to elevate the epidural, they're like, oh, you got to turn your side. What they don't tell you is your child's heart rate is dropping. They're going to put you right back on the side that you're already on.
Mm. And not to talk about the back pain that comes after the epidural.
I still have back pain.
I'm
like, still.
I mean, they stick a 9-inch in your spine. Like, your back problem, my shit ain't been right then.
And everybody told me that. Everybody I talked to.
You had a double door?
I'm the type that when I go to the doctor, I don't like getting shots. I don't like getting. They wanted to do an IV, in case anything happened. And I was so blessed. My godmama, she was in the labor and delivery room. I already had my birth plan, and I just had her print it off for me. And they was like, "Well, you 8 centimeters." I'm in a lot of like mommy groups, and they were saying like how we seek information about history, how we seek information about different shit we want to do. A lot of women don't even know to like seek information
about motherhood.
Yes.
I'm a whole because story and didn't know to do it.
Because it's like, I don't know.
It
comes natural.
This I shit wanted to have natural. A home birth. Like, I want to have like, a birth.
They're beautiful though.
They are beautiful. History has taught me that women normally have their kids sitting down, and then they'll somebody will grab it.
That makes sense.
When I'm lying down on my back,
it makes it worse.
Feet up, I'm going to feel everything.
You pushing,
and I'm going to push. I'm going to push to the side, and I'm not pushing down. Like down would be easy. Like
I kept feeling like this is TMI for those of you who ain't never been in a labor delivery mode room, but I kept feeling like I had the shit.
Yeah, that's how you feel.
And the doctor kept telling me like that's the pressure of the child, like you're dilating. And I'm like, what? Why? Why you keep telling me get this bed? Like this doesn't make. I'm actually more comfortable.
Y'all want to get this bed by me? Feed me all shit for real. Like I literally push it out. Like if that's the pressure that I need, I'll push the kid out. But of course, you know when you're in labor, they don't. You can't eat.
Yeah, but I'm taking doula classes, and you actually should eat. Really? But they talk about you not eating when you're in the labor room because they say you might throw up. But
they don't want you to.
Yeah, they don't want you to shit. But you really should try to like.
And that's why I think this is so important. Like how you getting. I know more and more black women who are becoming doulas, becoming midwives and stuff like that because it's not talked about. Like I walked my entire
birth experience.
Yes,
so traumatizing. I couldn't, like,
that's
I heard
the... I don't want to have no more kids.
Yes, oh, wow. I've heard, like...
My cousin had she was in a coma.
I hear about... My labor wasn't that bad for me to have twins. I pushed them both out. Thank God I didn't have a C-section, but I pushed both of my boys out. And they was only 3 minutes apart, but I just... I didn't have to have no stitches or nothing. So that was a good... I was definitely... I definitely did it.
She had that snapback.
Really? That's the real time.
But now I think about it, like, I could not do that at 40. Yeah. I did that at 23. I'm not doing that shit at 40.
When your body is that young, you heal different.
You heal so different. And that's why I said fertility and having children at an older age. Yes, having your career ready, a relationship, all of that, that definitely matters. And sometimes that don't happen till later on in life. But to get that child, it's women that are having so many miscarriages trying to produce one child that I didn't have two at 23. Yeah. Most, I got identical twins. Most people want identical and they have fraternity. So I'm like, nah, fraternal.
If you don't want them, and I know abortion is a touchy topic,
get them.
If you don't want them, don't have them.
Yeah, I'm definitely a fine brother.
I'm very pro, like, listen. I'm not, I'm gonna be real. Like, I've had an abortion before because I'm not ready to become
a mother. Yes, I believe in abortion.
You're just not ready. Yeah. Like, it just is not a good time. Whether it's by the wrong nigga or the right nigga, if it's, as long as it's not a good time for you.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody gonna have to do it but you.
But you. Yeah, you gotta put yourself first. That's why I'm like, I'm not me, goddamn it. Like, shit. Yeah.
Like, it's not even, I'm with my child's father and.
To do it all over again, sometimes. I'm not. I love the twins, but the thing too, I don't want to. I don't care. The older you get, your body might not even basically recover the same.
Or we can just be honest about the fact that you don't want to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I don't want
to. To grow, raise a child all over. The twins are about to be in kindergarten next year.
And 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. because you need to eat. So yeah. I really don't want to have sore titties no more.
I had a good kid. My thing is, I don't want to spend all that money again.
Me either. Damn it.
If I'm giving you Dior and Louis Vuitton, my next child is gonna want the same shit.
And they gotta buy two. Yeah. Going to a party. Let me tell y'all, buying two of everything is fucking expensive. I do it.
You feel what I'm saying?
You have to buy. Shit. I have to buy two of everything. The most I can spend, like, and I buy, like, nice things for twins. I don't go, like, designer crazy because I know they're going to grow out of stuff. But the twins, I still dress them very nice. Mm-hmm. I like nice things. I'm going to make sure they are nice whenever they wear stuff. You're going to see them in very nice things. Mm-hmm. To buy a two of everything is expensive. Yeah. So I don't know why people would have more than one child.
I couldn't even imagine my two pair of Vapor Maxes No.
It's not even like, and you gonna grow out of this too?
So by the time they turn like 11 or 12, they gonna be like an adult man size, and that's $500. Vapor Max are $220, $230 a piece. Listen, Lord knew what to do. He could only put on me what I could be.
I'm not doing that. Like, I'm like, the twins, we about to find y'all some type of income coming in. Y'all need something.
You know what's so crazy, and I know I'm wrong. I know this is like completely off topic, but my grandma has, my grandma has twins. My dad is a twin. He has a twin sister. And you know how back then, it just made me think of it because we were just talking about how women fought for like rights to their bodies. I feel like this is so wrong, but her doctor did not tell her she was having twins until the night before she went into labor. What? You know back then they didn't have ultrasound. Ain't that low down? And my grandma was.
I've been knowing I'm having twins since the first ultrasound.
She said they had been preparing for one baby, and the doctor came, told her to come in. We're going to induce your labor or give her a C-section or whatever. They scheduled a C-section, and she was like, "Okay, so we're gonna take the twins out." My grandma was like, "Huh?"
She
was like, "I didn't tell you because I knew you would be stressed."
Bitch, yes.
But that's my stress. Like, let me have my stress. Can you imagine? You guys,
I've been knowing that I'm having twins since the very first appointment. I was gonna have an abortion, y'all. No lie. I was gonna have an abortion. I'm like, I just graduated from college. I'm definitely not ready. So I'm like, you know what? Zion, which is one of the twins, and I'm like, I'm gonna have Zion. That's gonna be, I'm gonna have a boy. His name gonna be Zion. He gonna be fine. Like, I just knew he was gonna be the shit.
For so long.
I knew it. So when I went to my first appointment, she said she heard two heartbeats. I went to Atlanta that weekend because me and my friends planned on going to Atlanta. I was so stressed out because the doctor told me I was about to have twins. My homeboys that I grew up with was like, damn, what's wrong with you? They didn't know I was pregnant. Soon, I came back from Atlanta. I went to another doctor. He was like, yeah, you having twins. You could have had triplets, but something happened to the third sac. So you ain't even got it. So you lucky. You blessed. But if you get pregnant again, it's a chance, high chance that you're going to have multiple again. I said, you don't ever have to worry about hearing about me getting pregnant again. Because you just told me I might have multiples again. And I'm like, I got twins. And I hear about people have multiple sets. Mm-hmm. You have to be so rich.
Yep.
The first time I got pregnant, it was with twins.
Yo, mental
really?
Level.
Yes, I know. I know a family that is from here, and they have four sets of twins. four sets of twins. And three of them were identical. Three of the sets were identical.
They got some.
I said, so that's not two eggs just ended up down there. That's one egg splitting. One egg splitting. Like, yo, wait.
That means they were supposed to, they on the rap like this.
No, first of all, sir, I'm getting the IUD. Like,
I'm moving this uterus out. I don't give a fuck what y'all say. I'm taking this out. Take the whole, put it on the rest. Yeah. Get it for me. I want it. I want it. Give it
to
me.
Multiple.
Yes. What? Yes, that's crazy.
Like, no.
But, I want to thank everybody for joining us on this episode. This is our last episode of this season. Our Corona season. Kelsey, you got to think about that. We've been in COVID the whole time, so it's been like... It's been kind of crazy, but we're going to see y'all next season. I want to thank Bridget for coming. Being on our last episode, it's definitely been a highlight of the season.
Thank you for having me.
We definitely going to see you back next season. Do y'all got any final words, Jasmine?
I'm glad to be here. I want to thank y'all for welcoming me. I love this. I'm just so happy to be here. We are young. Oh, did we shout out Nee already?
You can shout her out.
Send love to Nee.
She about to drop this. Carriage, y'all.
Yes.
Welcome into the club. We'll be hearing from you soon.
Yes. I'm glad to be welcomed into a group full of young black women who are doing their thing. Boy moms out here making shit happen for their kids. Yes. Popping shit for their kids. You feel me? Mommies are us. We finna get us some merch. Stay tuned.
Yes, we definitely are. Bye, Mom Mia. You got anything to say?
I just want to say, I want to thank God for this year because I was able, everybody in this room, Bridget, I don't know about you, but I'm going to say this too, just in case. Everybody in this room was able to keep a job during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing within itself. Yeah. So I want to thank big God for that. I also want to thank God for allowing me to be the opportunity as a co-host. Oh, you know, mommies are us. You know, we doing shit. We doing major shit out here. You know, it's love. Thank you, Robin, for everything. And just stay tuned. Happy holidays and stay blessed. Happy New Year.
All right. And I want to thank everybody for listening. This is our first season. And I appreciate the love. The people who've been, giving us love on social media. I see y'all. And stay tuned for next season. I'm excited.
Yes.